This evening, I know I really don't want to keep you too long, but I've just noticed that there's just so many things that we do miss because we don't spend enough time with God in prayer. Now, ever since I got saved, you know, I loved praying. I really just loved praying, and it's something that I like doing. And yet, it is still the most neglected spiritual discipline. Although I love doing it, ever since I gave my life to the Lord, it was really always a pleasure just to commune with God and to communicate with Him. It's something that really just blesses my heart, you know, when I start spending time with Him. This evening, I want to talk about watchful prayer and why it is so necessary, you know, to pray, especially in these last days. And as we were worshiping, I was just hearing God saying as clear as possible into my ear, we need to pray aggressively in these last days if we want to take this nation, this town, if you want your family to be saved. You really need to pray aggressively. You'll never win the war if you don't pray. You'll win a few battles, but you'll never win the war. And so with prayer comes endurance and persistence. And so I want to talk about this. And the way God taught me this one evening, that was in 2004, when Elmarie and I, when we went to intercession, and that time our intercession was still in the arcade, there were Santamis. We still had our intercession there. And so we were praying there, and after we prayed, it was a really awesome time with God. We came from intercession, and as we were driving, she was driving, I just felt the urgency inside of me, God saying, you must start praying on your tongues. So I told Elmer, we must pray in our tongues now. So now we're driving, and we're praying aloud in our tongues. We're driving. And by the time we got home, it was apparent why we had to do it. 5 accidents. Almost. The first two were pedestrians. No, the first two was guys on bicycles. They just swinged in front of us. 2 different guys. The third one was a pedestrian, drunk, also in front of us. We just had to sway. The fourth one, pedestrian also. The fifth one was a car. They just jumped a red light. And so I must say, this girl can drive, I tell you. 5 accidents just being avoided. And the evening when I got home, I lay there and I said, God, what were you trying to tell me? You know, and God said, listen, my son, if you really want to win the war, this is something that you need to do regularly, watchfully. You need to be vigilant, disciplined and awake. And since that time, I've been sold out. Now, as I said, I love praying, but I also believe it's my most neglected spiritual discipline. And I love communion with God. So what I'm saying is, I can do with more of that. But as we will see this evening, not more in terms of longer hours, more in terms of being effective. And so I want us to look at the unity of Paul, Peter, and Jesus and what they say on this subject. And what I'm doing this evening, it's just a teaser into where we're heading and what I want to speak to you about during the year also when it comes to prayer. There's so many, you know, series that God is just being birthed within my spirit that I would more like to talk about. And one of them is prayer. And let's see what Scripture says. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 to 20, the New King James Version. The Apostle Paul says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always, watch out for that, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Then the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew. Jesus says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then just look what Jesus says in Mark. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. So, it's a theme that you see right through Scripture. You're vigilant, you're watchful when you pray. And in the context of Ephesians, let us first just look at the context of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul is talking about spiritual warfare, spiritual combat. So what the Apostle Paul is saying, you are in a war, and in any war you need to be watchful, and you need to know how to pray, otherwise you will lose the battle. That is the context within the Apostle Paul. He gives a beautiful ladder of the whole armor that you need to wear. And then he says, you know, you can't wear that armor if you're not praying. It's useless. The second context in Matthew is temptation. Jesus is with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying so that his Father can pass this cup going to the cross. And then his disciples, and then he tells them, look here, be watchful, pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He's talking about temptation. And our temptation can grab hold of you if you're not awake to what God wants to do. Mark is talking about the second coming. In Mark, Jesus is talking about his second coming. Now, you may have noticed there were some people that said that by yesterday, none of us would have been here. We would have been gone. You've heard that. Now, those guys were not watchful. They were not watchful. And I don't know to whom they prayed, but I can tell you this, they never prayed to God. And they don't have an understanding of Scripture, because Scripture teaches nobody will know when the day comes. But you must be watchful in the last days. That is what Jesus says, be watchful. That's the only thing that Jesus says. It's the only thing that the Apostle Paul writes about. And then Peter is talking about the end times when he says, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Last day is the second coming of Christ. Whatever it is really important to pray. And what I am going to say to you now is something really, really, really important. I want you to take note of this. If you're not praying, and if you're not spending enough time in prayer, you're trying to solve problems within your own strength. And I'm telling you, you're nullifying the grace of God if you're not praying. And I know at this stage, there's so many Christians that is not praying and so many Christians with ineffective prayer lives. And it seems to them that their prayers are not being heard. And this evening, I want to challenge you when it comes to this discipline. Prayer is a really important part of our offense. The rest of the armor is defense. But Scripture and prayer, that is the way we attack. The rest of the armor is only for defense. But Scripture and prayer, that is for the attack. When you attack, you know, she's not here this evening, but one of our members in church, she came to Almery and I at our office, and she told us that, you know, her brother's in a relationship and it's a bad relationship. And this relationship is really killing so many things within their family. And she doesn't know what to do because this is a divisive thing and it's really hurting everybody. And the fact that her brother cannot see what he's supposed to do. So I told her, okay, what do you think God is saying? No, she doesn't. I told her, I can tell you what God is saying. God is saying we must pray into this situation and we must trust Him. That this woman be removed out of your brother's life. So now some of you are really shocked, just like she was. I said, yes, I'll pray for her for a better job in another place. And some of you are laughing. That's what I did. I said, God, you give her a really good promotion in another place out of this boy's life. God, I'm blessing her out of him, out of his life. Bless her out of his life, Lord. Really fervent, really urgent, I prayed. A month later, she came to me. Hey, she got a job in another place. I said, yes. According to God's will, I prayed. And some of us, we don't understand this thing about God and what God expects of us when it comes to prayer. Because that, what I said now, it freaks the religious spirit out. If you're into religion, you will not understand what I've just said now. It will irritate you. You will think I'm wrong and you will think it's of the devil. But I can tell it's of God. God moving to the effect of fervent prayer for righteous man. And as Henny said this morning, I'm not righteous because I said so. God makes me righteous. And because of that righteousness, I can go to his throne room with confidence in grace. And I can pray and God will move and shake for me. And so many people don't understand that. Because number one, when we must be watchful, we must be watchful and protect our private time and space with God. This is something that you need to be watchful of when it comes to prayer. Scripture teaches, Jesus says in Scripture, and he teaches, when you pray, go into the inner room where God is in secret, and then you pray. Why does Jesus say secret? Because it's a special place for you and God. It's an intimacy thing. You need to watch over that space. If you're not watching, you will never pray. And some of us, we're not watching. That's why we're not praying. So there's a place that you need to go to, a place between you and God, an intimate place where you can relate to him and just pray a prayer. It's a physical place, but it's also a spiritual place because I can pray here in that intimate place and God will move and shake and do things for me. Scripture also teaches, and I'm not going to teach on it now, but Scripture teaches also that sometimes we must curse. Like Jesus cursed the fig tree. Never ever. You die, and it dies. God told Jeremiah, Tani Jenny sent me this scripture, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10, pull down, uproot, throw down, and then you can build. You know, there's all those things that you can do, but you can do it through Scripture, the way you fight. And some of us, we're tired because we're fighting with our fists, we're fighting with our mind, we're fighting with our philosophies, we're fighting with our sharp mouths, we're fighting with so many things, but we're not fighting in Scripture, and God is not hearing us, and so you're growing really tired. You don't understand why you're being so frustrated, but it's important that you know there's an inner place that you need to fight for. It's a place with God. It's an intimacy thing. It's a thing where you can relate to him in such a personal way, and you can ask him anything. And then for so many people, they do not understand church when Jesus says about the church, where two or three gathered in my name, I'll move. Where two or three gather in my name, I'll move. I'll move on your behalf. So we need to protect our private time and our private space with God. And now this is really important for the husbands that is married. This is a word of knowledge that I believe God gave me. If you are not giving your wife enough time to spend with God, you're quenching the Holy Spirit in her life. Every morning, I help dress the kids. I can't do their hair. I still have to be taught that. You know, it's really difficult. Somebody must teach me that, you know. I can't do that. But I dress them, I brush their teeth. And then I take them to school every morning because that's the time when she walks and talks with God. And she puts on a tracksuit, then she leaves. So I take them and she gives me instructions. You do this, you do this, you give this, you give that, you give this, you do that. You do that. And then I say, yes, okay, I'll do it. And then I do it. You want to know why? She needs to spend time with God because that is a time that as a husband you have to fight with for your wife. If you're not going to do that, you're going to quench the Holy Spirit in your life. She's going to become really agitated. She's going to become really tired. And we need to give our wives ample time to spend time with God. This is really important. Husbands, I hope you're listening. We need to take some of the response. Those days where women did not have to go to work, they're gone. If your wife can stay at home and work, you're really privileged. Blessed are you. I'm really happy for you. But in the financial times that we're living in, it's just so difficult for women that they cannot, it's just impossible that they cannot work, you know, unless you've settled it with God and with your wife. But now, you must fight with her for that sacred space. It's a sacred space. It's a secret place. Jesus says there's a secret place where you must shut the door behind you. It's a place between you and God. And people, we must fight for that. Which leads me to the other point. You must guard against distractions. Watch, be watchful against distractions. Where? The first one is the mind. Have you noticed whenever you want to pray, there's always thoughts that comes into your mind that wants to distract you. You must watch. If you don't watch it, you won't pray. It's really simple things that I'm sharing with you, but it's so profound. If you're not alert, and I deliberately this evening just compressed my PowerPoint because I want you to listen very carefully here. You won't find a lot of it there, what I'm saying now. It's things that you need to watch for. You need to be watchful in your prayer. Now, Jesus talks about watching out for temptation. Peter talks about watching because of the end times. Mark teaches about being watchful for the second coming. Now, what is Paul teaching? Paul is teaching watch out for prayer. That's what Paul is teaching. You watch over your prayers. Now, we don't watch over our prayers. So, when you are going to watch, distractions in the mind. The second thing, distractions, the flesh. Tiredness. When you start praying, oh, a cup of tea would be nice. I'm tired now, I can't pray. Oh, can't I get to sleep? My knees aching. Oh, I'm not going to pray now. You watch over that. It's really simple things that I'm sharing with you. But those are the things that keeps you from that secret place with God. Distractions from outside the world. The only way Elmery can pray if she leaves the house and I take care of the children. Saturday mornings, she leaves the children with me. Then we play. Otherwise, they will distract her. When I pray on a Sunday morning for church, or whenever I leave the house, I come here at 7 o'clock. I'm here 6:45. I start to pray when I leave the house. I drop off the laptop, and then from here I drive someplace, and then I go pray. Sometimes the urgency of the Holy Spirit is so heavy upon me, then I wake up 5 o'clock or 5:30. Then I already start praying. When everybody's sleeping, but distractions. Your child can be a distraction. Not because they want to be. It's just when they see you, they're going, Daddy, Daddy, Mommy, Mommy, and you won't get time to pray. But you must watch over it. You can also have demonic attacks when you want to start praying. Demons start manifesting. But you need to watch out for that. So when you pray, prepare yourself when you pray. Then really important, if you don't have times when you pray, if you don't plan for times, you will never pray. So you must have specific times to pray. This is the time that I'll get up and this is the time that I will pray. If you're not planning it that way, you will never pray. Why won't you pray? I'm going to say this over and over again. If you don't watch, you won't pray. And we just neglect the watching. Then see what you have to say. Don't just say anything when you pray. You must see with your spirit's eye, what do I need to say? What do I need to pray? Jesus says, please, people, don't make vain repetitions. Don't pray the same thing over and over and over and over again as if I'm deaf. When you start, I know what you need. Verbalize what you want. Say that to me, and that's that. See what you have to say. Don't go to God and mumble. Are you with me? Watch what you have to say. Watch what comes out of your lips. It's a focused thing. It's a focusedness. It's a discipline that you need to do. See what you have to say. I was praying this morning with a few people in Paul. It's just doing ministry. And then God would give me pictures. And then I would just pray the pictures over their life. And it's always spot on. Sometimes I miss God. But 99% of the time, it's so spot on. And I just minister to them what God is saying. I see what I have to pray. And I pray that in my own life. I see what I have to pray. I don't go and say, God, I'm here again. I have a profound desire now to worship you. But let me first make myself a cup of tea, God. And then, you know, God will put a desire within your heart. What you need to pray, pray that to Him. When you have the desire, then you ask Him, God, what do I need to pray for? This is the desire. What do I need to say? What do I need? Then you go and you say that to Him. Then the Holy Spirit will teach you. Now, that is what Scripture says. Then the Holy Spirit teaches you what you need to say. And you just need to say it once or twice. Now, when it comes to different kinds of prayer, sometimes you need to decree. Now, when you decree, God will do like what we did now. We look to Yahweh. Yeah, we decree it over and over. Now, that's a decree. But when it comes to desire and to need, you just pray once and God will get you move in faith, in confidence. Are you with me? Then, you must be obedient to prophetic actions. Now, some of us, we don't understand this. The best way I can explain it to you, when we wanted our buildings to be painted and also this building to be painted, I came here one morning and here one evening when there was nobody. So this wall was pitch black. So I walked here, I walked around there alone. I was talking to the walls. I was talking to the building. In the name of Jesus, we will paint you. God, you will give us the finances to paint this building. God, it's going to cost us 11,000 rand. But God, you wake up the mighty men, Father. They must sow into this ministry. And Father, we will have the right people to do the job. God, we will do this in a week's time. And Father, we want to ask these people to do this. God, you prepare their heart. God, you protect them. You give them the resources to do this, Father. I know what I'm going to say. I have their desire. Prophetically, I'm painting the building. 2 months' time it was painted. It's as simple as that. The same with the offices. You see where a big sign was? One evening at 10:15, I couldn't sleep. I had to get up. I told my wife, I'm going to the office. She knows already he's going to pray again. I took hold of the poles. Said, God, you wake up the mighty man that must put up the sign here. God, you've sowed me. You showed me, God, before I came here, who the person is. God, I'm going to see that person tomorrow morning. And Father, when I talk to him, you will move on behalf of me within his heart. I thank you, Lord, for the sign that you're giving. And I'm thanking that you're preparing his heart in the name of Jesus. Peace. The next morning, I saw the man. I spoke with him. The next day, the money was there for the sign. Prophetically, be obedient to prophetic actions. Then persevere with prayer. Sometimes, if it's for a brother or salvation or for breakthrough, you keep on praying for somebody. Now, personally, me, I don't keep on praying for things. For things and money, I don't pray for that on and on and on. Because you just shift your head and your mind. If you want money, you always come to God, money, money, things, things. For me, that's just a bad habit. So I don't do it. I pray for money and for things once. And that's that. And I said, God, like Jesus, he broke and he gave thanks, give all the people food. There is it. But when it comes for people's souls, for that I'll pray. I'll pray for that. Half past one in the morning, I get up, then I pray, God, I see this person's face. God, I'm praying for this person. I'm praying for this reason and this. God, you make sure that the breakthrough will come. And Father, I pray that you will help them. You will unlift the veils, Father, and you will give them wisdom. You will give them knowledge. But for that, I'll pray for people. I pray for people. I pray for causes. And when people, especially in these times, when people are being exploited or they're part of extortion and people just misuse and abuse them, I'll pray for that violently. I'll really pray violently for that. I know this shocks so many, but when it's about people and I see people want to take other people out, I pray violently. I'm not swearing, don't worry. But there's just an aggressiveness in me when it comes to prayer. Protecting the flock and other people and protecting my children, somebody's got to lose. Not me or the flock or my friends. Somebody else is going to lose. It's as simple as that for me. I'm not vindictive. I'm not angry. I'm just saying, God, you've made me a moral custodian of this which is important to you. If it's important to you, it's important to me. I'll pray for that. God. And I'll pray for people and I'll keep on fighting for people within the spirit. If God says so, I'll keep on fighting. And then the last thing, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, pray for me for utterance. Pray that God will teach you what to say and what to pray. Pray for utterance. Where you just trust God that he will put the words in your mouth and you must pray for that. And God will move. God will move on your behalf if he shows you. I'll tell you, the things that I've seen God do when we pray according to his will. But what I want to leave with you this evening is a simple thing. Be watchful in your prayer and fight for your time with God. Be watchful in what you're saying. Be watchful in what he asks you to do. Be watchful in your perseverance. Be watchful in your obedience to prophetic actions. You can't be asleep now. You can't not know what to pray. If you want to know how to pray, come to intercession. We'll teach you there. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to pray. We'll show you how to pray. We don't babble the same things over and over. We're specific, we direct, and we know where we want to go when it's with prayer. If you don't know how to pray, just like the disciples, ask somebody, please teach me how to pray. Then we can teach you. But for now, I just want this to minister to you. Watchful, watchful, be awake, be awake. I tell you, so many of us, we get taken out because we're asleep. And so next week, we will also be advertising the Awakening Conference for Women. Awake, awake for the woman. Awake, awake. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Deep darkness over people and the earth, your light must shine. You must be awake. You must know what to say. You must know what to pray. And you must take it aggressively. This morning, I was praying with a lady. Her son is an alcoholic. She doesn't know what to do. And I looked in the eyes. I told the lady, you fight aggressively for him. You let the lion stand up inside of you now, and you start praying for him. We call his name in. He doesn't belong to the devil. He doesn't belong to alcoholism. He belongs to God, and we call in his name because we stand in faith for him. Are you with me, lady? I want you to read Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10, about what God has given you and the ability. And that was just something specific for her because she really has a beautiful intercessory gift. I could just hear it when she prayed. And so I told, just lift up your head. Don't look down. Lift up your head. Now, aggressively fight for him. Fight for him. Fight for him. You fight for what aggressively belongs to God because it's important to God. And we settled it there. We just settled it there. There's so many things that God has been teaching me and just giving me. And I must say, most of the things I don't deserve. But I'll tell you, whether it be finances, whether it be material, but what I love most is praying for people and see how they change. That's the best of the best. I forget the rest. Praying for people and see how they change. Oh, that is awesome. That is so awesome. And they don't know that you've been praying for them. And they come and tell you about the revelation and the breakthrough. And I just smile. I'm so happy for you. And then I go back to that secret place. Then I just say, thank you, Dad. You're awesome. You moved on my behalf. You've heard me. You've heard my petition. You've heard my intercession. God, I can just say thank you to you now. For what you're doing for this person. It means so much to me. Father, thank you for this prayer assignment that you've been giving me. Lord, I've been laboring. You know, this thing with lifestyle, I've been praying for 3 years. When I got to the fraternal where all, I couldn't find somebody like-minded. And I told God, God, I really want to work with people, but I don't know who to work with. It's so difficult. Everybody's on their own tangent. Doing their own thing, wanting to do their own thing. And God, I have respect for that. But God, if we need to work with people, we need to be work with people that is like-minded. God, you raise them up, Father. You move, Father. You show me who. I've been praying for that for 3 years. After 3 years, I get an invitation from Lifestyles Pastor Gerard. Look, don't you want to come to our, what was it? Matric Ball, Almery. What was it? It was the Matric Ball. So now, I'm sitting at the table, I'm talking with him, and then he just starts spilling his heart. You know, Carlos. And as he was talking to me, I just heard the Holy Spirit saying to me, it's him. I said, God, thank you. Oh. But now I need to be watchful. I can't stop. I must keep on praying now for this relationship just to grow and work hard at it. And another thing when it comes to be watchful in prayer, you can't pray and be in heaven every day, but you mean nothing on earth. It's just wrong. Should I say that in English, Bob? You can't be in heaven every day, but practically you're no good to nobody. That's wrong. That's not the way Jesus works. You know? And for me, it's simple. If you have to get up 2 o'clock and pray and go sleep again, then do that. God will give you the grace for the day. I've learned that. So most of my effective prayer time is from 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock onwards. Then I just can't sleep. And it's not as if I don't have a job. I also have a 9 to 5. And most of the people that I see after 5 at their homes. I also have admin. There's just so much that I need to do, but I know that I pray too little. Really, as I was worshiping, I was just looking to this side, and I was just feeling the Holy Spirit said, look, Carlos, I want you to get more aggressive. I want you to be watchful in this thing. I want you to pray. And so that is my heart for you. Praying. Praying. Oh, how beautiful it is when God hears us and he moves on behalf of us. How beautiful is that, huh? I can tell you so many stories, but I don't want to inspire you by stories. I want the Holy Spirit to inspire you this evening to get to the heart of God, where He will move on behalf of you. I want to get to that place where Elijah, and all those guys were. You know, giving birth to prayers so powerfully. I want to be at that place where we can go to kings or to presidents and just tell them, this is the mandate from God. Now, King, I want you to listen to me. It's a beautiful story in Scripture. If you're not going to change your heart, God told me that I must pray for drought. Then the prophet prays for drought. And there's drought. But we as Christians can go with that mandate to lead us. And then after that, the prophet goes back after 7 years and says, look, you know, I'm going to pray, it's going to rain. And then he sits in a particular position like this. And he grabs his knees. That was the way that ladies in those times gave birth. Then he gives birth, then he prays, then he tells his servant, go check if there's a cloud. Then he says, there's no cloud yet. Then he prays again. There's a small cloud, and then it rains. It rains. God moving nations and nature and shaking it for his servant's cause. It is a beautiful place to be. That is my heart for each and every one of you. When you walk into a building and you start praying and you know God is moving on your behalf. Can we stand? David, I'm going to pray, everybody, the church, and then I just want us to do one song, and that's that for the evening. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your servants will wake up, each and every one of us, your church. That we will know what to pray, when to pray, and how to pray. And Father, that we will be movers and shakers by definition of our relationship with you, nothing else. Father, teach us how to pray. Show us what to say. Tell us what to decree. And Father, we want to get into this discipline, just having the stamina, Father. And keep on praying for people and for people's souls, standing in faith for our nations, our friends, our family, salvation, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, no more vain repetitions, saying the same things over and over again, but being effective in prayer, and that effective prayer will avail. It will prevail. And Father, we will pull down, we will uproot. God, we will build, we will prophesy, and God, even when you say curse, we'll curse. But Father, only when you say, we'll do that. And Father, we want to shake the nations from our knees. We want to shake this country from our knees. And Father, then we just practically want to do what you expect of us. We want to do it. Just practically, we want to do this, Lord, by the leading of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you will birth this in every child of yours over the world. An awakening to pray. Father, I'm just seeing this happening in my spirit, Lord, from England. God, I don't know why, but God, as it spreads out from England, it will touch Europe. And Father, I see also in my spirit this spreading from the tip of Southern Africa. And it will go over Africa, Father, to the nations. And God, I pray that you will wake up the mighty men now, that they will pray. Wake up them. Wake up the intercessors. Wake up the dads that are asleep. Just wake them, Lord. Wake them that they will be start praying. Wake up the mothers that they will lay hands on their children. Father, I pray for the young children that you will wake them up, that they will start praying, Father. Father, we want to pray, Lord. We want to pray to you because you will move on our behalf, Father. You will shake nations, God. You will shake governments, Lord. Father, with your spirit, not in the flesh. God, as our eyes are closed and you've touched people now, I just want to ask you this one question. If we just keep your eyes closed. If you've never prayed to God and say, God, I want to pray like that, and God, I want you to be my dad, I want your son to live in my life, I just want you to raise your hand. If you want that, that I was talking about this evening, if you want that, I want you just to raise your hands. Is there more people? Would you quickly come forward? Just take somebody's hand next to you and then just tell somebody to come with you. Just tell somebody to come with you. To come with you. Just come. Come with you, because I really want to pray with you. And then the Christians, if your prayer life is dull, you never know if God's listening when you're praying. Is God hearing me? Is he listening? Am I praying against the ceiling? God, why are you not moving when I'm praying? If that is your prayer life, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to be honest this evening and just say, I'm fed up of a prayer life like that. Now come, my dear. Who else is there? Who wants that miracle-shaking, power-shaking, moving prayer life? Then I want you to come, because I want to pray for each and every one of you. I want God to stir this within your hearts. If you don't have prayer stamina, 5 minutes, then you're prayed up. You don't have prayer stamina, you can't go on and on with something. You just pray, and then you give up, and then you pray, and then you give up. Is there anybody like that that doesn't have prayer stamina? If you don't have prayer stamina, I want you to come also, because I want to pray for you. God must do something. Jesus must do something. Jesus must do something. Jesus must come and he must touch his people. He really wants to do this. This is the Father's heart. Just out of that relationship, we're going to pray for you this evening. Oh, I love it when the Holy Spirit is moving. I love it what the Holy Spirit wants to do. It blesses me. It excites me. It's so wonderful. There's somebody, a person's here. Whenever you want to start praying, it's so difficult for you just to get into that mode. I'm sensing God saying there is something that is coming against you, and I want to break it over your life. Whenever you want to start praying, you can't concentrate. It's so difficult. You can't get into that zone. There's people here like that. I want to pray for you. Is there any person like that or persons like that? You can't get to that place? Then I want you to come. I'm going to trust God to break that thing over you. And I'm going to trust God to give you the strength to fight back. Just to fight back. And then there's people. God has been reminding you about praying for people. But you've always been disobedient. No, I'm not going to get up now. No, I'm not going to pray now. No. Is there anybody like that? Is there anybody like that that's been disobedient? What they need? Prophet, God showed you some prophetic actions, what you need to do, but you didn't do it. Is there any Christian like that? If there is a Christian like that, I want you to repent. I want you to say, God, sorry for not listening to you. I'm so sorry. And then there's this, if anybody just feels condemned, hey, you don't need to feel condemned, huh? Don't now feel, oh, I'm a loser, ooh, no, I don't know, you know, don't feel like that. I can tell you that's the devil that wants to minister into your ear now. God will never do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break every assignment on these people's thought life. I break that assignment, Lord. I break that mental barrier, Lord, that intellectual barrier. I break it now in the name of Jesus. And I pray that in our hearts and in our minds, we will receive what you want us to pray, Lord. Father, any distraction, it must leave now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for your servants for spiritual stamina. Spiritual stamina, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray for that breakthrough in their lives, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit will move into their domain, Lord. And just minister within their hearts. God, you alone can do it. I cannot do this. Father, but your Spirit will break through. Some of you are struggling to focus while you're standing here in front. I'm sensing that. God, I pray that you will just meet with them now in Jesus' name. Minister, Holy Spirit, move upon them. Grab hold of them. I pray for salvation in the name of Jesus. A turning within the spirit that will never be the same again. They will never walk out the same out of this place. They will never turn back to that again, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, because your spirit is calling and your spirit is bringing breakthrough, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for my sisters and my brothers that has a dull prayer life. Their prayers are not being heard. And I'm sensing God is saying to you, stop nagging, start praying. And thank you, Lord, that they will have prayers and that they will pray and that they will run with it, Father. And they will be victorious. And Lord, tears will come to their eyes as you minister to them now, because you will place the words in their mouth and they will speak it, they will decree it. They will sing it, Lord, and they will shout it, Father, because you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in their lives and of their lives. And Father, they need not be scared anymore. They can pray now. Father, thank you that we can pray now. Father, thank you that there's a liberty in this place just to pray. Thank you that we will go home with this liberty to pray at home. We will get up and we will wake up and we will pray at our jobs, in our places. We will lay hands and we will pray. We will not be scared. Thank you that depression is leaving now in the name of Jesus. Thank you that there's a freedom, Lord, to worship you and to be King, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that we can speak it, Lord. We speak it, Lord. Life and life in abundance. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Just say with me, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Father, I pray and against this assignment of demonic oppression, and I pray in the name of Jesus, deliver your sons and daughters now, Lord, from demonic oppression in the name of Jesus. You lift this up from their heads, Father, because you are our King and your Son Jesus is interceding for us. Just deliver your people from oppression, from fear, from depression, Lord. Deliver them from sickness, Father. Deliver them, Father, from pride, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Minister to them and let them meet with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the freedom and the liberty, Lord.